following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Show here on ESPN Radio.
I think he's going to lose his endorsement. I think he's going to lose his endorsement deal with the Visitors Bureau from the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce.
How much of it was false?
Oh, boy. You know, it's a matter of perspective. I honestly, it's the people that don't understand the value of this state and our greatest attribute, and that is people, you know? This reminded me so much of a story that I had. I visited a friend of mine in Denver several years ago. Kids were young. And he said, I don't understand how you flatlanders, meaning Nebraskans, I don't know how you flatlanders do it living in Kearney. I go, what do you mean? He says, well, here in Denver, we have the Avalanche. I know, Bush, you're a sports fan. We have the Avalanche. We have the Rockies. We have the Broncos. I know you got a young daughter. We got the Children's Museum. Rattled off about six things. I said, all right, Mike. When was the last time you went to a Rockies game? When was the last time you went to? Every single thing on his list, I had gone to more recently than he had. And he's like going, well, but we can... No. We have it on TV in my town, too. We can still watch it at my house on TV just like you can. You know the difference between you and I? One of them is I don't have to fight traffic every single day. So when I have a day off, I don't mind fighting traffic to go to these events and these things that you just mentioned. So it's a matter of perspective. It just boggles my mind that people don't think that this is a quality state to live in because we don't have X, Y, and Z. And you know what? We can still get to X, Y, and Z because we don't have to fight traffic every day. We're not sick of being around large crowds of people. I enjoy going out and going to that stuff. I think anybody that brought in their family to Lincoln, Nebraska or Kearney, Nebraska would be very happy with what they found.
People that dislike Nebraska are the ones that have to drive through it because, let's face it.
And Nebraska's in their way because they're going to someplace else. That's how they view the state. Nebraska's in our way. We're getting to wherever. Yeah. Nebraska's in our way. If that's how you want to look at it, that's all you're going to see, and they're completely wrong.
If you're driving interstate coast to coast, you're coming through Nebraska. Colorado, you see the mountains. I don't see anything special about Iowa. It's got a lot more hills. And then, you know, you're getting into the bigger, when you get into Illinois and so on and so forth. Yeah, it takes a while to trek across the state, even if you're going 90 Colorado license plates this past weekend, which I love. Just let me keep up with you, and you get pulled over.
Right. Just a little bit behind them.
Because I'm not going 74, I'll guarantee you that. But bottom line is Nebraska, it's not going to matter who the that's not going to matter to the coach. The paycheck's going to matter to the coach. That's what's going to matter to the
and
coach.
And they have an airport. They can get, you know, by the way, if money is not an object, I could be watching a Broadway play tonight. You know, I can get there from here tonight. Not a problem. I mean, again, you can get to those things that you think are such a wonderful thing to get to.
Of all the things in the world, and you picked Broadway play.
I enjoy the heck out of the Broadway play that I went to. Enjoyed it immensely, and I'm looking forward to going to my next one, and I will. I enjoyed it immensely.
Doug Duda along with Randy.
I am cultural.
Here on the Doug and Daddy Show, that's fine.
I have some culture.
Great.
There.
There's a lot. I think every person has some things they want to do that make other people roll their eyes. You know, it's like, why would you do that? Well, because I would I want to, and I enjoy it. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. I'd love to hear from you. We're going to have Kevin Chaney coming up with Loper Link here in just a couple of minutes, the Loper women's basketball coach. We'll also be talking with Steve Sippel, the Lincoln Journal star. Coach Pelini spoke to the players last night. I'll be interested to see if Sip has had a chance to chat with his friend, Bo Pelini, who's now his friend and not his workforce story that he has to cover. Yeah. We'll also talk with Bob Jensen, wrapping up the football season. Basketball season starts tomorrow. That's all coming up on the show today. Tomorrow we're back on the road over at Grand Island at Bandits. Husker talk from that part of the Tri-Cities. Love to hear from you, though. You can also tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550 and the email Dead Popper Inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Haven't had you on. This, we normally would have Husker lunches. We would have had one, but Nebraska's not playing the championship game. I watched a little bit more last night of the replay of the Nebraska-Iowa game. Then you see that Coach meets with the players. And how long does it take to get over the emotional part of this transformation? Whether you agree with it or disagree with firing Coach Pelini, how long does it take to get over it emotionally? Because I still am in that I think we've made a mistake mode right now.
I am too. There's a seven stages of grief, and I think this applies. I mean, obviously, I don't want to equate this to actually having a death in the family, but...
Okay, the 12-step program. Take me through that.
Well, no, it's a seven-step program. You know, eventually you get to acceptance. I mean, there's denial, there's anger, there's negotiating. I can't remember what all the stages are, but I think we're still, a lot of people, if you supported Bo, I think you're in the anger stage still. I mean, why would you not be? It's going to take a little bit of time before that happens. I personally think the firing was a mistake because I think we had a guy in place that was eventually going to get where he wanted to go. He wasn't content being 9-4 every year. He wasn't. He was competitive. Have you not watched him on the sideline? The man's kind of competitive. I think we were heading in the right direction, but I think there was probably some changes on the staff that needed to be made. And I have a feeling that he just wasn't willing to make those changes. And that was the hurdle that was impossible to kind of overcome that they had. You know, and so I think we're 4 years behind. Because actually, you had the transition, two transitions that Bo Pelini made on the program. Transition one was going from post-Callahan and the dismantling of the program that happened under Billy C's reign. And then he started building a program that was going to be okay in the Big 12. And now we switch conferences, and you have to recruit a different style of player. You have a different offensive philosophy. You have to do things different for the different conference. You have to recruit in a different area of the country. And there's that second transition. And that's one thing that those are two things that, say, Tom Osborne didn't have to face when he became the new head coach back in 73. Those are two things he didn't have. So when people kind of compare the first 7 year under Osborne and the first 7 year under Pelini, I think those are apples and oranges. I don't think that they're as easily compared. Plus, you know, back in the 70s, there was one national game a week on TV, and Nebraska was on there two or three times through the course of the season. That was easy to recruit to. You know, there's more games on Saturday that I watched last week that were available to me on my satellite dish and stuff. I had more options than I had the entire season when we were kids growing up.
And no doubt. And it's in color now, too.
Yeah.
Time for our Loper Link, brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons. They have the loans. See Russ Smith today at Charter West National Bank. Quite a few things going on as we have made the transition now totally into winter sports. And Kevin Chaney, the head women's basketball coach of the Loper, joins us here. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're looking for football coaches, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Unfortunately. Kevin, I'll tell you what, things have to feel a little different in the office in just a couple of weeks. 0-3 to 3-3. Has something switched? Because I don't necessarily think it's who you're playing. I think it's how you're playing.
Well, you're exactly right. It is how we're playing. And, you know, we accepted the fact that we have small numbers. We only have nine players. Two of those games, we only had eight. But you know what? We buckled down, and those eight to nine players are playing their butts off. You know, they're producing. And that's really all it takes. As long as we can control the game the way we want the game to go, and everybody produces and steps up and pitches in, then, you know, we can win ball games. And, you know, we proved that the last three games, you know, got on the road and got a couple of wins in some tough places. In North Dakota, let me tell you, we had one lone fan in the audience. one fan. And, you know, and able to pull out a couple of wins. So we're really excited about it.
Which end of the court are you most excited about how your team's playing right now? You've, 92 points in each of your last four games on the offensive end, but a lot of times if you're scoring that many points on offense, it's because you had some fast break opportunities started by your defense.
Well, you know, absolutely right. And we know that, you know, when you go out, I try to be a couple of steps ahead of my opponent coach, you know, my opposing coach, and that is they'll look and they say small numbers, we're going to put some pressure, we're going to wear them down, we're going to get them tired. Well, you know, we've been pressed, and when we've been pressed, we've got some good shooters. So once we break the press and our shooters get an opportunity for an open shot, they've been knocking down shots. So, you know, it sometimes that can, you know, backfire on you, but that's what it is. Are we, you know, a team that can score 90 points every single game? Absolutely not. You know, of course the kids love it, the fans love it, because offense, you know, puts people in the stands. So, you know, we're happy to have the offense, but, you know, for a coach, you know, we're happy to win a game 25-26, you know, if that's what the case is, but low scoring. But, you know, we're really happy with the offense on that side. I still think we're giving up too many points, but like I said, that's something that comes with the territory, you know.
Talk with Kevin Chaney, head women's basketball coach at UNK. Please don't ever play a 26-25. Please don't ever.
We've been there.
Yes, we've been there. Don't ever do that. Obviously, Amara's got off to a great start here. She's leading you in scoring right now. But I want to harp on that one more time, Kev. You don't go from a team that, like when you took over the program and wanted to be kind of defensive-minded, you don't go from averaging 60 points a game to averaging 90 points a game overnight. Are the kids shooting the ball better? Are they just mixing together? What's more key to upping the total so much?
Well, what happens is Amara is a player that, as a senior, she has to be double-teamed if you're going to stop her. And we've been working really hard on the kickouts when she does warrant the double team or the triple team, and she's been doing a real good job of kicking that basketball out, and we've been knocking down shots. We are a good shooting team from the perimeter, from the free throw line, and we're knocking down open shots right now. So that's the good thing, because we're going inside and she's kicking it out, and our guards are doing a really good job of finishing. But on the other hand, we do have a great group of shooters. You know, Mackenzie Brown, Laramie Lewis, and Alexa Hogberg, those three, and Tori Payne is starting to step it up a little bit as well too, are fantastic outside shooters. So and they've been working on their quick release. So we're hoping that will continue. They've been working really hard in practices. We spent a lot of time in shooting, because wherever we can get our points, we're trying to get those points. But we've got a tough contest this week against both Missouri Southern and Southwest Baptist. I think Southern's undefeated. They haven't played any games on the road yet, and Southwest Baptist is about 3-2 right now. So, but really solid recruiting class for both of those, and we're looking forward to a couple of real good contests this week.
Well, yeah, you mentioned it, starting conference play this weekend, and the Lions are 6-0. You had the Bearcats record at 3-2, correct as well. Let's talk a little bit about Missouri Southern. Last year they were 19-8. I mean, this is one of the better programs probably within the conference, and they've got a couple of pretty good athletes that you're going to have to face. I mean, you can't just shut down one score and think that you've got them shut down.
No. We're going to have to play defense, and everyone's going to have to raise the level of their game, because they are all athletic. Everyone from the point guard to the post player can shoot the three, and can move her in the paint pretty well. So we're going to have our hands full. But we're prepared for this contest coming up on Thursday. We're not thinking about Southwest Baptist right now. We are really focused on Missouri Southern because we believe we can win the ball game. So it's going to take a strong effort, and our kids are ready. They're prepared.
Talk with Kevin Chaney, Loper women's basketball coach, on our Loper Link here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I almost dropped the paper when I saw the new rankings yesterday, Coach. Four of your eight opponents, or four of the top eight, are opponents of yours. Emporia State, number one. Washburn, seven. Pittsburgh State, out of the conference, is eight. And then Wayne State, number two in the country. Are you surprised at how well everybody's gotten off?
No, I'm not. I'm not surprised. I do believe with the MIAA and the NSIC, I think they're the top two conferences in the nation in Division II women's basketball, bar none. And when our conference plays outside of our region and outside, you see what happens. They're just that good. So, you know, we're excited to be in a conference that is ranked so well and has so many good players. But and you'll look at the records of everyone in the conference, and it's a whole lot of 6-0s and 5-1s and to start off the year. But that's just the way this conference is. You know, it's tough. They win ball games. You know, there's some they even win ball games against Division I. So, it's just one of those things. You want to be the best, you got to beat the best, and that's what it boils down to. I love being in this conference. I love the competition. You know, there's no easy games at all. And we're excited about it. Got a chance to go and play a couple of teams, four teams outside of in the NSIC as well, too. So we fared fairly well, 500 against those teams. And we're looking forward to starting off MIAA strong.
Coach, we mentioned that you've got 92 points in each of your last four games. We've also mentioned that you only are playing about, you know, eight or nine players, don't have that deep of a bench. One thing makes it sound like you really want to play an up-tempo game. The other one makes it sound like you want to play kind of a slow-down game. Do you guys kind of have a gas pedal where you try to pick your spots in terms of what pace you play it at, or are you just going to be who you are?
You know, that's exactly right. It just depends on how the game is going. We have everything in place for us to be successful. So if a team feels that the best way to beat us is come out and put pressure on us, we have a great press break. So we'll break a man press, a zone press, and the penalty that you pay if you press us is we may knock down threes all day long. So if you want to give up a three and press us, you just have to make that choice. So that is, you know, teams decided to press us for a long period of time. And, I mean, would I have taken the press off a little bit sooner? Yeah, I would have, because I don't want to trade threes instead of twos. But it's just one of those things, guys, that, depending on how a team plays us, we're going to go out and do what we do well. But if we're pressed and we have an opportunity to kick out when you're double-teaming my post player, then we've got some great shooters that can knock down threes like people knock down free throws. So, you know, it's kind of a give and take type of a thing. So there are some games when we are going to put a lot of points on the board, but then there'll be other games where if it's straight up, one-on-one, then the scores may not be as high.
Couple quick comments, and then we'll wrap things up here with Coach Kevin Chaney. Lopers are home Thursday against Missouri Southern, and Southwest Baptist comes in Saturday afternoon. First, you touched on a little bit, but just a couple of the youngsters, obviously. Mackenzie Brown, a freshman, and then you got what Kelsey Fitzgerald did for you in your last ball game, just a sophomore. But you don't have a ton of freshmen on this year's team, so maybe just touch on the couple that you have, especially Mackenzie from our backyard.
Well, Mackenzie's doing a fantastic job. She walked right in and earned a starting spot at the three-guard position. She's still learning portions of the game that she's perfecting. You know, her defense is getting better and better every single day. She's the only one on the team that's taken a charge. She never took a charge in 4 years in high school. So, you know, these are things that she's learning as she goes. But she's really stepping up, fitting in just like a Loper. I mean, just doing a fantastic job. and Taylor Nielsen is from Colorado. She stepped in at the two guard spot, is doing a phenomenal job as well too. Played at a different level in high school. This is a much bigger, higher level for her, so she's making that adjustment, getting a lot stronger. But those are my two freshmen that have you know, really stepped up and added that shooting aspect to the team, and also you just really blended in the two in the big guard position. So I'm really excited for them both. They're two shooters that, you know, if you come to the game, you definitely want to watch them, because if they have, you know, just a step on someone, they'll be able to knock down open shots. So we're really happy to have them, and they're doing a great job.
And finally, Kevin, did release four young ladies that you've already got signed up for next year. One of them is Allie Prasoski from right here in Kearney. The other three are from outstate. A quick comment on Allie and what you were looking for and if there's more to come.
Well, Allie's, you know, local product right here in Kearney Catholic. Been watching Allie since she was an eighth grader, to be honest with you. Know the family very well. And I always wanted Allie to be a loper. I mean, just her work ethic, how she handles things in the classroom as well as on the court. She's a leader, a multiple sport type of an athlete. And I always wanted her to be a loper. I followed her career, watched a lot of games, not only basketball, but volleyball as well. And, you know, we're just really happy to have her on board. She deserves to be here. She's always wanted to be a loper. And just those are the types of student athletes that we look for, especially when they're right here in our backyard. We didn't want this one to get away. So we're really happy to have her on board to be a loper next year.
All right, Coach. Hey, best of luck this weekend, and we will chat again soon. Happy holidays.
Thanks, guys. Happy holidays to you as well, too. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin.
Kevin Janey, head women's basketball coach at UNK, part of our Loper Link. We mentioned those rated teams. Lopers have to get the job done, because the quirkiness of the schedule reminds me of an old USHL schedule for the Storm. In a stretch from the last game of January through basically the last two games of the season, they will play Washburn, Emporia State, and Pittsburgh State twice. They don't play them, any of those teams, until the 22nd, and then they play them all twice. So if they get really good, things could change, and they're going to be very competitive with some of these teams. We've seen, kind of like football, all the big boys came in the first month. That is not the case. Even though Missouri Southern is 6-0, they are not nationally ranked.
No. Here's the thing, though, with that. You run into that problem. You like to have that spread out a little bit more so you can kind of concentrate on it. Can you imagine if there's an injury? Yeah, where UNK would be if Amara Williams is injured and has slowed down a little bit during that stretch. I mean, so it's, you got to make hay when you get a chance to make hay, which is one reason why the games this weekend are rather big.
She could go watch a musical.
You know, I enjoyed the play, and there's nothing wrong with that. Enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
UNK senior left tackle Cole Manhart, named to the All Super Region 3 team, a unanimous first team All MIAA selection, made the region's second team. And then All American Volleyball came out today. UNK libero Liz McGowan named honorable mention. I guess the Lopers just don't have a star. Because obviously, if you're the number four team in the country, as they get ready for the Elite Eight this weekend down there in Louisville, Kentucky, obviously there's a lot of kids that could have been honorable mention, but they, to be a four-loss team and have no one in the top three teams, shows you that they were very balanced along the way. By the way, the men, 2-1, they beat Doan in hoops on a Monday night, 87-66. So that's a doubleheader both Thursday and Saturday. The wrestling team will be down at Fort Hays State on Sunday.
Saturday afternoon, isn't it? The Lopers playing in the afternoon, kind of do that big-time college thing that they kind of do.
Because that's what they do.
Well, yeah, that's the MIAA has kind of moved to that more and more. So I think it's a Saturday afternoon, like 1:30, I think the women play.
Correct. Head wrestling coach Mark Bauer has announced the names of five high school seniors who will join the Lopers next year. And they include Dakota Hernandez out of Lexington, Jared Heinrichs of Geneva. The other three are from Iowa, Colorado, and Kansas. Lopers at the Fort Hays State Bob Smith Open this Sunday. So that is our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith, Charterwest National Bank, Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. Did I miss anything? Yes? Are you?
No, I'm just thinking of bump music. I mean, I think the next break we actually have bump music from a Broadway musical. I even have a suggestion for Jeff. But we'll get to that.
I've got one and only one.
Trouble right here in River City?
No, don't even know what that means. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report when we return.
Ian Eagle here with a preview of Thursday night football. Mike Mayock and I will be on hand for all the action as Jay Cutler and the Chicago Bears host Tony Romo and the Cowboys. Dallas is 5-0 on the road and is looking to keep that streak alive as they visit Soldier Field. Join us for the Cowboys and the Bears on Thursday night football and hear the NFL all season from Westwood One.
Cowboys Bears Thursday night on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretin Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretin Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies in our forecast for today with a high near 39 degrees, down to 21 tonight under partly cloudy conditions, and we'll see more sunshine Thursday with a warmer high of 47. I'm meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now it's 30 degrees.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation on this Wednesday. Don't forget, you can get a lot of good food at the Chicken Coop. It doesn't have to be Wednesday, but any day. The Chicken Coop is open in downtown Kearney, combining the best of both worlds, sports bar and grill. Watch your favorite games, eat your favorite foods, from their great burgers to all of the chicken. The chicken wings, bone in, bone out, chicken tender hoagie. You can get a grilled chicken sandwich. You can get the chicken in your salad. And it's not just about chicken, but it is the Chicken Coop, so they do it better than anybody else. And they, even on Wednesday, make the lunch special non-chicken. It's a turkey BLT inside for only $6.49. Lunch is served from 11 to 4. That's the lunch special. Food is served all the time at the Chicken Coop, open 7 days a week. Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds. And don't forget Appetizer Thursdays as well, where from 2 to close, special prices on all the appetizers. They're special every day from 2 to 5:30, but Thursday, and get in there before and after your games and get the job done at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney. Well, last night, Coach Bo Pelini met with his players. Also, Brady Hoke was released from his contract at Michigan. There are two openings now in the Big Ten. And Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star joins us on this Wednesday to talk about everything he knows. Hi, Sip.
Hi, how are you doing, Doug?
How many of these?
I didn't know there was a chicken coop down there.
Yeah, we've got them all over
the
place.
Well, it's not literally a chicken coop. I mean, it's, you know.
They even have eggs. You can even get an egg at the chicken coop.
We have a chicken coop, you know that?
Yeah.
At our house.
Yeah, it might be different. It might be different, Sip. It might be different.
Oh, we have a legit chicken coop. But yeah, I didn't know you had a restaurant in town. I didn't know you had that restaurant. They have one in Des Moines. I've been to the one in Des Moines. I didn't know
yeah.
they had one.
Yep, yeah, same gang. Or they used to be the same gang, I should say. But, yeah, it's all good.
It's all in the family.
We'll treat you next time you're in town.
No, I'll treat you. How about that?
Hey.
Hey, cool. I'm up. I'm with it.
The gas, get him out of here. Sip, obviously, a week ago, we're getting ready for Iowa. We're talking about what may or may not happen, and I just am curious, because you are friends, have you talked to Coach?
No, not in a manner I'd want to share on public.
Sure.
I don't think it'd be appropriate on really either side, so I just keep that to myself.
As far as what you know about the meeting last night, I don't know how many people know anything more than what the players tweeted or put on their Facebook page. We saw a couple of pictures. We saw numerous tweets. And as I stayed with Randy at the beginning of the program, you know, how long does it take to kind of get over the emotion of moving on from the coach? And obviously it's going to take the players probably a lot longer.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised about last night by what some of the guys were tweeting and maybe what Vogue told them. I'm a little uncomfortable with the whole situation. You don't see it like that in a lot of places. I wasn't at the meeting, so I don't want to say too much, but obviously a lot was said. And what I would say is that the new head coach, whoever that may be, will walk into a difficult situation probably. And it better be it needs to be a guy that is a strong leader, that has a commanding presence right off the bat, I think. That's my thinking right now. Now, emotions will subside. I mean, it's hot, right? It's still hot right now. And it'll cool. And then there'll be some excitement once the new name comes. It's hard, though, for the players. And I'm glad people are talking about the players now. I'm glad that the players come up in the discussion, because so often when these things occur, it's kind of like the players are the last thing on our minds. You know, we talk about the money. We talk about who's next. We talk about the guy who got fired. By the way, there's a bunch of players affected. So I'm glad that they're in the forefront right now a little bit.
Sip, you said a lot of things are kind of unusual about last night. One thing that really kind of stood out for me was I was really surprised this did not happen on campus, that they actually went to Lincoln North Star High School. They weren't on the campus. Is there anything to kind of read into that, the fact that Bo Pelini didn't meet with them at a Nebraska facility?
Randy, I don't think Sean. I think that's the way to do it. I don't know that Sean Eichhorst wants the guy he fired walking around in the hallways, I think that's the way to do it. And if you're the guy that's fired, I don't know if you want to go back there. No, I think that makes a lot of sense, actually. I think that's the way to do it. I think it fits with Bo's personality. And I think if you're the AD, I don't think anybody on that staff was particularly happy getting fired at 9-3, right? So, I don't know. No, I wasn't surprised at all. In fact, we think opposite on this one, Randy. I would have been surprised if it was at Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, couple of the reports out there, Sean was reporting this morning on our Big Red Report that it basically had to be off campus because Bo is no longer an employee at the University of Nebraska. I'm sure you could have worked.
It has happened, though. There have been times head coaches had the chance to meet with the players, but usually not 2 days later.
That was kind of the point I got out of that. Steve Sippel from the Lincoln Journal Star with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday. Sip, just flat out, how'd you feel when you heard the news?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I didn't feel a lot. I felt, I just didn't feel a lot. It just kind of was, well, I better write a story now. You better get it going. I mean, you can't really, in my situation, you can't really afford to get emotional about stuff. And I don't get too emotional about this stuff anyway. I mean, it's not like it came out of the blue. I was a little surprised. I guess I was surprised. We were on alert, So I wasn't surprised in that regard. But I guess when the news came, I was still of the mind, and I think he might survive this, you know. But we were on alert. But I wasn't, you know. Listen, at the end of the day, it's a business, and all those coaches you guys have dealt with for many years, they know what can happen if you don't win enough. So there you go. And the bottom line, I say bottom line too much, but here's the deal. In my job now, this is no longer a novelty. I mean, we've been down this road now, right? This is a third time.
Yeah.
And it just is what it is. We'll see what happens with the next guy. And maybe we'll be having this conversation in 5 years again, or 6 years, or whatever it is. I think that I just kind of have gotten callous about it, I guess. That's the best way to put it.
A lot of the criticism of the firing of obviously is he's 9-3, 9-3, 9-4, won 9 games. The last time Nebraska fired a coach that had a record similar to that, Frank Solich, you had kind of the downturn of the program. Colin Cowherd just a little bit ago kind of called Nebraska fans delusional. Is Nebraska a 9-3 program? Can the next guy elevate it back to its former glory?
Hey, Randy, Nebraska's a 9-3 program if it listens to Colin Cowherd. Nebraska, you know, or those like him. Nebraska's a 9-3 program if it thinks of itself as a 9-3 program. I've dealt with coaches at Nebraska and other sports that define themselves as this is, you know, we just can't do it here. We can't elevate this sport. And then someone else came in and did it. So it is, I think, it, you know, if you set your standards high, and you can do it. It's as long as you're realistic about things. And I think that Nebraska can be better. I think it can win a Big Ten championship. I don't think this was what makes this discussion fascinating and made the decision difficult. I mean, I don't think they're that far away from achieving that. I think that it was in many ways moving in the right direction. So I think that you got to be careful when you listen to that, and you got to be careful how you define yourself.
Sip, I like to ask questions I know the answer to and ask them anyway, and I think I know what your answer is going to be on this. How did Coach Pelini see the Nebraska program? Did he see it as a perpetual 9-3?
Yeah, I mean, we had the discussion a couple years ago where he was frustrated after – when I got beat by South Carolina and in the bowl game, and there was quite a lot of hollering, right? There was some howling, and I said, you know, he was frustrated, and actually, there was another job that he, you know, I don't know that he was considering it to any great length, but you know, we were talking, and he was frustrated by the fan reaction. You know, it was like a what do people want here? And I said, can't you just, you know, win the conference every so often, and then every 6 or 7 years be in the hunt for it all, you know, all the marbles? And he said, yeah, I think we can be that kind of program. So ever since that conversation, I thought, yeah, he's all right. I mean, he's got the right mindset here. And I don't think he ever wavered from that. I do think he got frustrated. I think he became very frustrated by the negativity. I don't think that. I know that. And I think anybody that paid attention knew that from what he said at his press conferences or wherever. And that was very real. The negativity really, really wore him down. I mean, it really got him. And it, in some ways, I think it ate him alive. There's no question it ate Bill alive, Callahan. And you know, Frank was beaten pretty bad when he got fired. So, you know, it's tough here. It's tough. This is a tough job. But there's a lot of tough jobs, and a lot of places it'll beat you down. So, and that's why those guys make a lot of money. So we'll see how the next guy handles it.
Last minute here with Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star. You can go to HuskerJournalStar.com, look at the Husker Extra. Sip just within the last 30 minutes, a little update from Scott Russell, FootballScoop.com. I'll read it and then just kind of get your comment on it, Sip.
Okay.
It says, since last night, I've spoken with a number of connections, and the feeling in the profession is that Nebraska Athletic Director Sean Eichhorst seems to have a very short list, perhaps with only one name on it. Sources have told me he isn't taking calls from coaches trying to get themselves involved. He doesn't appear to be building a list. He sounds like he is locked in. And then, of course, you say this one sounds like it is coming, and it is coming soon. How soon? And, Sip, did he have the guy a year ago when we were going through all this?
No, I don't think that at all. I really don't. I mean, I think he was genuine when he said he wasn't close to firing Bolt last year. I think he was. I mean, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. When I say him, I mean Sean Eichhorst. He said on Sunday, Sean did, that he wasn't close to firing Bo last year. So I mean, that doesn't mean he doesn't have a short list and didn't have a guy ready to go, but I guess I don't know. Who knows on that? But I mean, from what we started hearing as soon as Sunday, this thing was going to move fast. I mean, we've said that from the outset, and I've heard nothing this week that would tell me otherwise. I'd be surprised. Today's Wednesday, right? I'd be shocked if we're sitting here Wednesday and we don't have a new head coach. I'd be really surprised. I think if that is the case, then something went awry. And if that is the case, if something goes awry, then, you know, that's not good. and we have all another deal going.
Sip, will the new head coach have Nebraska ties, and are Nebraska ties important?
Randy, it's a question I go back and forth on, and it's hard to answer. You know, if it's the right guy, maybe it doesn't matter. You know, I'm always inclined to think you should. I don't like the idea of pushing this thing further and further away from the culture that we always talk about. I don't like that idea. I already feel like we've gone down that road a little bit just by firing another coach, you know, by getting into the hire fire cycle. Okay, just that alone, I feel like we've gone away from Nebraska. Just take that one element of the discussion, that Nebraska, you can say right now, has entered the hire fire cycle, where, as I said earlier, I've become kind of callous to it, where we know as a news organization now how to handle it, exactly what we're doing. Well, I never thought that would be the case. And now I kind of look at it like, well, I wonder what's going to be. We'll give this guy 5 or 6 years and we'll see. And maybe there'll be another new guy. I've never really thought Nebraska would be that school, but you can't, but it is. Nebraska's that school now. Okay. And I never really thought it would be that school. And it didn't have to be. It did. You can't tell me it had to be. But it is. And so that kind of answers your question, Randy.
Yeah.
So in a sense, yeah, I kind of hope that they try to maintain this culture, this Nebraska, some elements of it, or maybe people don't care about that anymore. Maybe all people care about here is winning. And if that means, wrapping yourself in duct tape and hanging by a tree, you just do it. You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe you just do what you got to do to win the Big Ten, and it doesn't matter really, really who you are. Maybe if it means, wearing green, you just do what you got to do.
Exactly my point, Sip. That's what I said. I said, everybody says, well, who do you think the coach is going to be? Who do you want it to be? Blah, 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 blah. I said, you know what? It does. I don't think anybody, there might be a couple that they say, and I would go, oh, man. But I don't think there's anybody that's going to be a splash hire if they hire him.
Well,
I don't care.
Right.
I don't even care who it is. I mean, from Tressel to Mac Brown to whoever, you know, you give me Urban Meyer. I'm just saying, you bring in, go as outlandish as you want. It doesn't matter who it is. If they don't win, there's no way you can give them 6 years to build a program. You've already kind of set your standard by getting rid of Coach Pelini.
Interesting.
You better win.
Maybe. I mean, that's a little extreme, Doug. And we're like minded. I'm probably not quite as extreme as you. honestly, I understand the sentiment, but you can't discount the nature of the losses. And Sean made that very clear. And I get that part. And I understand the other side too. That were they making progress? I think there were signs that they were, but I also think you can build a case that they weren't. But I don't know. This thing, it's interesting, and I used to feel a lot more strongly about maintaining the culture, and I've become much more cynical about it now. You know, I don't know. But hey, listen, if the next guy comes in. I mean, I bet when they brought Bob Devaney in, there was a lot of people who were cynical and questioning it. And he, look what he did. So maybe that's what they're trying to do now. You know.
We all love stats. I'll leave you with this one. Our producer, Jeff, just threw this one my way. And I know it's a ways back, but the last time you look at where Florida, Michigan, and Nebraska are now, and they're all looking for head coaches, and they all won national championships. The Nebraska-Michigan shared national championship in Florida. So 97's the key. All three of them technically won one.
Within 2 years.
Within either 96 or 97. They're all looking for coaches today, and in 1997, Alabama was 4-7, Baylor was 2-9, and TCU is 1-10, and they're all in the play for the Final Four. So, obviously, changes can be made, and they will work. Hey, Sip, always great. Appreciate the chat, and probably see you soon when we have a new coach.
Yeah, we'll see you at the press conference soon. Take care.
Take care, Sip. Steve
Sipple,
Lincoln Journal Star. Check out all the latest on Husker Extra. Wow. Those are some numbers. Again, you got to remember that's 17 years ago, but
which, again, goes back to what we kind of started the show with, Colin Cowherd's comments. You are not locked into who they are. But I also think Steve nailed it, too, when he said we've kind of fallen into that higher fire cycle, you know, and that's what Nebraska was not. I mean, we had two head coaches over the span of, gosh, what was it, 28 years, something like that, when Devaney came, and then through the Osborne era, and then...
Well, 62 to 97, so...
So, yeah, it'd be 37.
Oregon's, what was Oregon's record in 97?
It wouldn't have been.
Florida State would have been okay.
Yeah, Florida State was okay. Yeah, Florida State would have been okay. But, again, what Nebraska was known for was having that solidarity within the coaching staff and that sort of thing, which, again, if Pelini was released because he wouldn't fire one of his coaches, kind of fits in with the old school kind of Nebraska. But now Nebraska with this higher fire cycle, which I thought was a good, great phrase for Steve to use, you know, just – things are different. It's just changed. You just don't have the time to get things done like they used to.
Oregon was 7-5. Our Husker football talk brought to you by TNL Irrigation, and new from TNL and AgSense, it's the Precision Link, enabling web-based pivot control for TNL pivot systems. As you get ready for 2015, take a look at TNL. If it's not in your field now, there are plenty of reasons why it should be. The Precision Link works in combination with TNL's Precision Point Control 3 to let you manage your pivot with your computer or mobile device and a simple internet connection. Start, stop, direction, application rate and speed, water pump control, just a few of the features that are available. Your TNL irrigation dealer would love to have a chat with you and answer all your questions about the hydrostatic proven technology that works at TNL Irrigation. Coming up, Bob Jensen after this.
It's third down and 6, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Well, it's coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. 5.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a free month of service. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies with the nation's largest fixed wireless network, Prairie iNet Internet delivers. Call and get a free month of internet just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call now. Call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
You want action. You want excitement.
This place is going nuts.
You want the ultimate adrenaline rush. Then you want the one and only PBR.
The Midway Auto Dealership's PBR Challenge coming to the Buffalo County Fairgrounds Saturday night, December 13th at 7:30, featuring great riders and tougher bulls than you'd ever expect. Brought to you by Mid-Nebraska Chemical, New West Sports Medicine, Sapp Brothers Travel Center, Crown Royal, Regal Apple, and Best Western Plus. Don't miss this year's Midway Auto Dealership PBR Challenge, December 13th at 7:30.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Joy. A feeling of great happiness that's often given when helping others and doing what's right. If someone you know has spent the year giving the gift of joy, nominate them at fnbplattevalley.com/joy. We'll be drawing three winners for a $100 prepaid card between December 8th and 19th so we can give back to those who give so much. Visit fnbplattevalley.com/joy. First National Bank, member FDIC.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter with you on this Wednesday. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be over at Bandits. Luke Hoover from RotoWire, Monty Kratzenstein will stop by with his take on the whole Husker situation, the former Husker tight end. You got a splash hire.
I don't. I'm speculating. Yeah, isn't that what we're all doing? We're just kind of having a little bit of fun.
The guy that you said during the break would make me roll my eyes.
I wouldn't argue that at all. There is a Nebraska connection there, though.
Connection.
There is a Nebraska connection. It's 1 degree of separation. It's 1 degree of separation. It's a guy that used to live in Nebraska because his dad was the defensive coordinator at Nebraska at the time.
Did he actually live in Nebraska?
I'd have to look at.
This guy is still really young.
Yeah, I don't think he's that young.
I got the puke bucket ready. Go ahead.
No, I'm just speculating. Part of the speculation was, since you kind of painted me in this corner here, part of the speculation was there's only about 14 games being played this weekend. We haven't named a new head coach just yet at Nebraska, but we know it's impending. It's going to be here. My thought process is there's a fairly good chance that it's going to be somebody that's coaching this weekend, which brings us to about 28 programs in all of Division I college football.
SMU and Connecticut, throw that out.
Right. Obviously. So, again, we're dealing with a fairly small universe here.
Paul Rhodes.
And we were talking, you know, could it be Scott Frost? Because he's going to be busy as the offensive coordinator coaching in the Pac-12 championship game. And the defensive coordinator for Alabama is also going to be coaching in a championship game this weekend. His name is Lane Kiffin. Yeah, that was the thought. I'm just speculating. I'm not saying, but I'm just wondering whether or not the reason we haven't named the coach just yet is either one of two things. We're waiting for the ripple effects of the firing before the hiring, you know, and there's some logic to that. Or we're waiting until action this weekend to make the announcement so teams have a chance to digest that and doesn't shock a team right before they play one of the biggest games of the year. So everybody else is speculating. There's my speculation. I'm not saying I'm in favor of it. I'm just saying.
Huh.
And I'm with you. I don't think it's either one of those two guys.
This is,
but it's out there.
Evidently, Vanderbilt's already making some changes too, with some assistant coaches down there. So, I'll let Monty talk about that tomorrow. Of course, Jerry Godowski is down there. He's okay.
The way Kentucky's been recruiting here lately, I wouldn't be upset at all if we got Kentucky's head coach in Nebraska.
Bob Jensen waiting to join us, but since he wasn't on time last week, we're going to make him wait. This comes to the Dent Popper inbox. This comes from Doug and Carney. He says, Doug and Daddy, just in my opinion and my thoughts, it's for the current Nebraska football players. The most difficult part of the firing of Coach Pelini is the meetings that they have had with their position coaches. The stark reality is that most, if not all, of these assistants will not be retained. The players spend the most of their time with their position coaches, not only the season, but during summer workouts, winter conditioning, spring football. They develop a team closeness with their teammates and coaches that if you're not inside the program, you just don't fully understand. You add in the strength and conditioning coaches and support staff involved in the Nebraska football program, the emotions that are running high, very understandable from a player's standpoint. Passion for Nebraska football, but more importantly for your teammates, can make 18 to 23-year-old young men say and do some things that we cannot fully understand, but it's part of the grieving process when a head coach is told he just isn't quite good enough. Thanks, Doug, for that.
That is a quality email right there. Let me just say that.
Email. You're not just firing Bo Pelini.
No, absolutely not.
30 people.
Right. And again, thinking of the same thing over at UNK. It's the exact same thing, there. And probably a higher percentage will stay at UNK than will say, and again, I don't know if that's going to be absolutely true, but generally a higher percentage in the smaller schools than you're going to have in your major Division I programs. Generally. Because you can recruit more coaches.
I was going to say something, and I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't. And then just as I was going to say it, then I thought of another reason I shouldn't say it, so I won't say it.
Good. Now, they're 2-1.
Just been announced that the 20—
filtering, that's good. You're starting to learn filtering. That's a very nice skill to learn.
We'll work on you with that. The 2014 Hall of Fame class for the Orange Bowl includes Amon Green. Wanted to get that in. Now, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. Are you still there, Bob?
I am, as a matter of fact, but I'm just like the rest of Central Nebraska, hanging on every other word you guys are saying.
And just the good words. Is that the ones?
Some of them, I think.
Yeah, trying to filtering. We're all worried about filtering today.
Well, Robert, because I know 12:30 will be here if we don't get started. Football season is wrapped up. You will still be publishing your Diamonds in the Rough and your postseason All-State teams and all the cool stuff that is out there. But every season is great, and it was kind of when I walked out of Memorial Stadium on Tuesday, because there was great individual performances, and there were just a ton of blowouts, but I don't think that should overshadow how many very competitive games we had, especially in the quarterfinal and semifinal rounds.
Oh, well, no. There was lots of drama, lots of great games. All the prerequisites were met leading up to the state finals, and go back 2 weeks and we were talking about, we had some fantastic looking games on paper. Who knew when Myrna gave away that lead in the late third quarter of the very first game of the week, that was goodbye to competitive football for 2014. There is nobody I would think that could have imagined we would have that kind of one-sidedness in those finals. There was, and it was just strange. You were there, you guys were there, I was there, I guess every time they lined up for the opening kickoff, I was just sure that this one would be different than the one before, and it just never quite worked out that way.
Bob, now that we're looking at the season in the rearview mirror, what are your favorite memories, your favorite kind of moments from the season?
Well, there's a lot of them. I'll tell you what, it's not a particular one, but what Omaha North football has become over the last 3 years, and especially in this year, I love the, there's very little that I read of Stu Pospisil's that catches my attention, but I did read the thing about his all-time rankings, and the very mention that North football is that, is held in that regard is quite a deal. There's a tremendous senior class. It isn't like they're going to completely start over next year, but that program won't look the same. Going to miss watching Wyatt Mazur play football. He's played a lot of great football over the course of the last couple of years, But a lot of these games, he hasn't got to play a full four quarters, and frankly, he's done it in places that nobody's ever heard about it, or fewer. Well, he got out to center stage and put on a show that still has people talking. I mean, he went from being a outstanding football player from a little town in Nebraska to somebody who is suddenly drawing attention. It may not result in a whole ton of Division I scholarship offers, but there'll be a lot of them. I think the kid can play. You got to remember that kid can run like a 4.41. I believe is his 40. Going to miss that. I was really glad to have a chance to see Exeter Milligan win two in a row. I thought, that team, I'll be honest, they were better than I thought at the start of the year. There's just a lot of good football been played there also, three state finals in a row. And I guess going way out west, something that really sticks with me, Bush, is seeing Hammond Ford not just, you know, demolish BDS, but to win a state championship and represent the real West in our state. And I don't know, a school like that is real unlikely to see a senior class like that ever go through there again. But I really wanted to see Colt Foster, the number 80. You saw that number a lot in that D1 final. That kid is an absolutely great small school football player. And he's going to go someplace like Shadron State. I know Shadron State really wants him badly. And if he does, I think he's going to be one of those kids that will certainly be an all-conference player and maybe even better than that.
We're talking with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report here on the Doug and Taddy Show. How much of these, and it seems to me the lower the class, the more the translation, but how many of these football teams are going to be very good basketball teams this winter?
Well, it's funny. I just in the middle of all that right now, posting the last of our preseason top tens, and it is. I mean, athletes are athletes. It doesn't always completely translate, as you guys know, especially being the powerhouse wrestling station that you guys are. But you lose some pretty good athletes to a different sport. But a lot of the way the game is played now, anyway, is run real fast and play great defense. And I don't know the way the game is officiated now. You can go a little bit beyond defense into bludgeoning people at times. And if you've got athletes that can run and play defense, you're going to win. Back when we were kids, everybody wanted to have a post player. You got to have a post player. You got a 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", 6'9" kid. You know, that's your ticket. Well, that's not necessarily true, because the way pressure defense is played now, a lot of times the ball doesn't get down to that end of the court because the other team has stolen it. So, but bottom line, athletes play, and you see a lot of it. And you're right, the smaller the school, the more direct the translation.
Who do you kind of see that played for a state football title, even if they maybe didn't win it, has the best chance of being in the finals in basketball?
Well, Scott. Scott is defending champion in basketball, so I don't know if that's entirely fair, but Scott is going to be really good. Hardington Cedar Catholic, they got beat like everybody. They got beat. They could beat badly in the C2 final, but James Kaiser, their quarterback, is maybe the best player in C2, and they could very well, I could see them being a factor. Those are two that immediately come to mind. But there's a lot of those schools that will be in position to do at least a little bit during the winter. Out our way, we had Myrna in the final. Myrna's got a lot. They won something like 17 games last year, and they've got some real important pieces of the puzzle back. They could be good. I don't know if state final good, but I guess to give the shorter answer, which I struggle with, Cedar Catholic and Scott.
Bob Jensen, last minute with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, putting a bow on the football season. And, ooh, I shouldn't have said bow. That's B-O-W. And then moving into basketball, of course, you can see the previews, the top 10 for the girls. The boys are starting to pop up on huskerlandpreps.rivals.com. And a lot of coach speak up there as well with a variety of coaches. So, Bob, as far as finishing up football, Randy kind of asked you that general question, and you brought up Wyatt Missouri is one of the non-Class A guys. It can be a super state type of pick here. last year we had like a Kennesaw situation where the kids were hurt and they were 2-6, and then they turn it around and make a run this year. Do we have a situation like that coming out of this year, a team that for whatever reason didn't find its way and will be a power next year?
Well, that's, I'll be real honest, I'm not going to be able to do real well with something like that. My head is spinning at the moment. But you know there will be, because there is every year. I will, you know, that Kennesaw deal was really freaky. Anytime you lose three players that are All-State potential, two to injury and one to full contact boxing, it's tough to overcome. But there'll be more surprises. There were this year. There'll be more next year.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, just I'm sitting here right now trying to calculate buyout on my contract. Actually, I was handed a piece of paper by my wife, actually, who had done the calculating for me.
Penny says a chicken sandwich.
I was going to say, it turned out to be a little more expensive than I initially thought, boys. So that's all I got to say.
Bob, we'll let you get back to work, my friend. Always appreciate it. I'm going to see you somewhere.
Yeah, I'll see both you boys. And trust me, Bush, I did not forget about that winning field goal there at SCOTUS, which still, you want to talk about an individual moment. I still don't know who I was happier for, you or the boy, but that was a great moment.
I was more nervous than he was. I think that was abundantly clear.
Yeah, I understand you won't be allowed back in the press box at SCOTUS ever again.
So, there wasn't that much damage. There really wasn't.
Anyway, no, it's always great to be on with you guys, and I will say one last time that your whole show is just a great service to people to get to hear it. It's nice to get a break from the same old story on the mothership, and you guys do a lot of good things for a lot of people in these towns around here.
Bobby, always appreciate it. Keep up the great work, my friend. Thank you so much.
Yep. See you soon.
Thanks, Bob.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And by the way, you know, let me tip my hat to him. He does a pretty good service with what he does in terms of covering football from a little bit different perspective. It isn't the population base that he's really aiming for is not Metro Omaha. It's not the Lincoln area. He does a wonderful job with that as well.
And may I bring back, when it comes to this field goal thing, may I bring back a quote that I think you initiated on this show, you invented on this show.
I'm not looking forward to this. I have a feeling.
I think Jeff remembers this because you said it to me numerous times.
Get over it.
Let it go.
Hey, I asked about the best. Wasn't fishing.
Hey, I want to get
wasn't fishing.
I want to get to some tweets here, and then we'll go into our final break from the Twitter at ESPN 1460 1550. Getting back to Husker Talk. This comes from Nate. He says, "I'm really thinking if we don't hear anything by Friday, it's more than likely an assistant from one of the teams playing this week, like you had said." This from John. He goes, "Doesn't Colin Cowherd think NFL teams play in cold weather?" But the only difference there, John, is they're not recruited. They're drafted.
By the way, you don't
really have a choice where you're going to in the NFL.
And as far as players go and coaches and all that stuff, I mean, people understand when they have warm weather gear. You know, they fully understand that really you're not spending that much time outside and you're going to be running around a lot in football. I mean, I don't think it chases people away. And by the way, if that's going to chase you away from playing at a program, if that's what it is that really the kind of kid you want there in the first place?
Some of those 3 and 4 stars are pretty smart, too. Now, again, if you're a 4 and 5 star and you're from anywhere that doesn't have an ocean or a Gulf of Mexico that you can see from your state, then I don't think the weather bothers them. But if you're along SEC borderlines, California, Texas, any of those places, I think then it is a little tougher to be convinced to come to Nebraska.
But you're more than likely being recruited by a school that's fairly close, and there's that geographic, you like it because it's geographically central to where you're at. You know what I mean? If you're in one of those Gulf Coast states, you got a lot of pretty good schools knocking on your door that's going to be close for mom and dad to drive to the game. It isn't so much the weather, it's more that it's going to be close for the family. And weather would be a factor, but not the factor.
Mark says, "Do you think Bo lands as a head coach in a Power 5 conference or takes another route, possibly NFL assistant or head coach at a smaller school?" My opinion, I don't think he'll be a head coach at a smaller school. I think he will be a – I mean, you immediately hear these stories at South Carolina. He's already been talking with Spurrier about being a defensive coordinator for the Gamecocks, and I don't know how – I don't know that you'd want to jump right into that either, because how much longer is Spurrier going to coach? Even though he's under contract, how much longer is he going to coach there? What do you think, Randy? I would say
that's a great question. I don't have a. I think probably a coordinator job somewhere, or back in the NFL for a period of time.
I don't think he's going to Kansas.
I don't think he's going to Kansas. I don't think
or a place like that.
No, no. And again, you do that, and then you'd get the head coaching job. And again, I wouldn't rule out South Carolina. And if Spurrier is leaving in a few years, he would be a pretty good applicant for that job, wouldn't he?
Yeah, because, you know, they don't win more than 10 games a year either. Scott Frost is not going to work, says the old crow via our Twitter. We will take a break. More from your reaction, and we'll wrap things up on a Wednesday Doug and Daddy Show next.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Lift the hearts of others and let people know you care this holiday season. Spread joy with the help from Copycat Printing. Send greetings with personalized holiday cards, calendars, or festive stationery. At Copycat Printing, it's easy. Simply go to our website, carneycopycat.com, and click on Shop to browse through lots of new choices, both business and personal. Or make an impression and have your holiday cards custom made by our talented designers. Make the season yours with Copycat Printing in Kearney. Like us on Facebook for additional savings.
Santa wears Husker Red, and so can you, along with a lot of other colors from TM Sporting Goods in the downtown Kearney Center. Santa and you might also consider Under Armour for crisp outdoor jaunts. If you have a player on your Christmas list, see Steve and Tino for expert advice on equipment and accessories for every sport and the know-how to help you buy right. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design, and like them on Facebook for daily holiday specials.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Give the gift of health this holiday season with the Hastings YMCA membership gift certificate. Certificates may be purchased for any Y membership at either YMCA Welcome Center. The Hastings YMCA offers a variety of memberships to choose from, including youth, adult, couples, and family memberships, so no one is left out. For more information, contact the Y at 402-463-3139. So stop by the 16th Street YMCA to give the gift of health this year.
Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, wishing you the happiest of holidays, thanking you for your business in 2014, and continuing on as a bigger and better and expanded program in 2015. Midway is continuing to fill spots at MidwayCareers.com, or you can stop in and see them at South 2nd Avenue, maybe looking to make that career change or do something different. When the new year rolls around, they're looking for everything from technicians to specialists, telephone operators, everything. They're looking for them now, and the best part is you can just go in the privacy of your time to MidwayCareers.com, look online at the jobs. You can even apply online, see the benefits, and be part of the Midway team. While you're there, you can also click on ThinkMidway.com to see all of the great deals that they have in the month of December, plus see the great Chevrolets, Buicks, Cadillacs on the lot, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram there for you as well. Midway, it's a better way.
They got a lot of brands. Got a lot of stuff there.
Nebraska football. If he has one, if he's already got him picked. Man, if he's already got him picked.
Well, again, you look at the timing. I mean, even if, and again, I kind of agree that with a couple of those Twitter those tweets that we had, I have a feeling that somebody that's coaching this weekend, I really kind of do. But there's also the thought process of saying, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to let people kind of grieve, process this, and then wait a few days and then announce somebody else. So it's not an absolute slam dunk that they're coaching this weekend.
Yeah, but my goodness, breaking news this morning. Breaking news. How in the hell is it breaking news that Brian Hoyer will once again, as he has every game this year, started at quarterback for the Cleveland Browns? How is that breaking news? Quit overusing. When breaking news pops up, that's when you're supposed to, whoa, stop everything.
There's something different.
Tell me it's that. You're crying wolf is what you're doing.
It's Tuesday. Yeah, breaking news. It's still Wednesday.
You know, Brett Favre's coming back. That's breaking
news. That's breaking news. That would be a
thing. You know, Mike Ditka's the new coach at Nebraska. That's breaking news.
Ooh, let's start a rumor. I like that.
Just hate it.
Hell, Gruden. Hey, if we're going to start a rumor, let's do that. By the way, the tweet about Scott Frost, I'm not sure Scott Frost as a hire would work either. I will say this. It has the biggest upside. It has the biggest upside, and that is you'd have a quality coach for a very long period of time who's offensive-minded and is from Nebraska. Does that sound like anybody? Tom Osborne, if you hadn't followed along yet, it would be kind of that same path, somewhat. I think it has the most upside. Again, I'm not so sure it works, and that's not who I'm saying I think Nebraska should hire, but it has the most upside.
The thing that keeps me from thinking that it's going to be Scott Frost is that just in my mind cannot process that Scott Frost is better than Bo Pelini.
I'm with you there.
I don't mean as a man or as a coach. I don't see where there's a jump.
Right. I'm with you there.
Where there's a spike. So that's why I don't think it's Scott Frost. But if it is, again, majority of these coaches I'm with, that's going to be my reaction.
I'm also curious what UNK is going to do. I mean, part of the rumor mill out there was that it'd be the head football coach at Wisconsin Whitewater. Well, he got a different job.
He's already been.
Yeah, he got hired elsewhere.
Yeah,
so
he's in Division I football now. Be interesting to see if any of the folks that are coaching here the next 3 weeks in Lincoln might find their way this way. You have the Eichhorst Plinsky.
I don't know how much connection there is there, but there is the potential for a connection.
There's more than none.
There's more than none.
And it sounds like they've had a ton of applicants. I think it's going to be more interesting when we hear the name of the UNK coach than it will be for the Husker coach, because I think it'll no matter who it is, I'll go, huh? Where in Lincoln, I'll go, hmm. Taran Petaway.
By the way, if you're typing up the transcript of this show, I'm not sure how you type that.
Taran Petaway is now on the Naismith Trophy's 50 watch list released today, and Siobhan Shields is the nominee for the All-State Good Works team. We've talked about this in football before. He is first-team All-District, and the All-Good Works team will be announced sometime in February, so that coming down during the show as well.
So let me get this straight. The leading scorer from last year in the best basketball conference in the country is actually made the top 50. Wow, that's not exactly breaking news either. But, I mean, you have to kind of announce that. But Petaway, I don't know if people really understand just how strong that young man's resume is in terms of being one of the best players in the country.
All Big Ten volleyball goes to Katie Rolfson and Kelsey Fien for the Huskers. Mary Pohlmiller is honorable mention. The Nebraska women will host Duke tonight, 12th. In the country versus 9, and the game will tip off at 6:30 at Pinnacle Bank Arena on the Big Ten Network and on 1230 KHAS. Duke's starting lineup goes 5'10", 6', 6'1", 6'3", 6'4". Off the bench, 6'3", 6'4", 6'4", 6'4", 6'5".
That's kind of the female equivalent of what Florida State threw out there against Nebraska a little bit last night.
Emily Cady is the tallest player for the Big Red at 6'2 in the starting lineup. Got a couple 6'2s that they can bring off of the bench. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question, which team should be ranked number 4 in the college football playoff? And this is pretty split. 45% Baylor, 36% Ohio State, only 18% TCU. Well, you're right, because TCU is third. We invite you now to vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Which top six team is most in danger of losing this week. Alabama, Oregon, TCU, Florida State, Ohio State, Baylor. I believe Ohio State is the only underdog out of this group, 3.5, 4 points. I will throw a curveball at you because in Baylor, they're thinking one thing, that's win and win big. Bill Snyder, probably not even going to let them win. I think K-State upsets Baylor and takes care of that.
Is that in Manhattan? I mean, if it's in Manhattan, I certainly would agree with you. Otherwise, Baylor will win close, maybe. Yeah, I'm with you. K-State's going to give Baylor everything they've got. Baylor should not be in the top four.
It's at Baylor.
It's at Baylor. No, I think Baylor might hold on there and get that
Wasn't
late score.
Baylor
they can score.
Baylor was the one that knocked Kansas State out here a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah. Returning the favor.
So Bill Snyder's not going to forget that. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. What do you think about TCU 3 and Florida State 4? Is it okay? Does it matter? As some of the folks said, I think I don't know. If you're Florida State, would you rather play Alabama or Oregon? I don't know that it matters. The one thing that matters is if they are the 4, the game will be in New Orleans as opposed to the Rose Bowl where you travel across country. And again, the interesting thing comes up. If you're a fan, do you go, okay, I'm going to the semifinal, or do you go, I'm going to wait for the national championship game in Dallas?
No, I think you go for what you can go to. Let me just say this. TCU, I think being the number 3 basically is saying they're saying they're in. And I just can't imagine Ohio State being able to play well enough with their backup quarterback. I can't see them, even if they win one of those lopsided scores that Nebraska's been on the wrong end of a few times. I just don't see them being able to bump out an undefeated defending national championship team if Florida State wins. I think we've seen our Final Four unless one of those 4 teams loses.
CoachingSearch.com is the story that everybody's following that Tim Beck has interviewed at Kansas, and some of the tweets after the meeting with Coach Bo Pelini from the players last night. Zach Stirrup of Hastings, great talking with Coach Bo and gaining his insight on this whole ordeal. Nothing but love and respect for the man. Derek Foster says nothing but love for Coach Bo. Says we're glad we got to meet with Coach Bo one last time. Think we all needed that clarification and finalization. Speaking for the whole team, no words can describe the way we feel about that man. He has molded all of us into the men we have become. Can't thank Bo enough for the opportunity to play for him. He's a guy that definitely meets all of our standards. And Sam Foltz, who is a part of the picture that you see, said, great meeting with Bo tonight. Can't thank this man enough for giving me a chance. Love him to death. So that's some of it. If you didn't see it already today, that went on from the meeting last night. Be interesting the next time because, you know, to this day, there has not been a story with Bill Callahan that I can relate to where he has been talked to or questioned. Maybe one out there when he was with the Jets actually had a couple questions because there were a couple of ex-Nebraska players that he either helped bring in or was working with at the time. Where will Bo end up? When will we ever get to hear a comment? And the problem is you want to hear some actuals. You don't want to hear fluff.
Right.
I don't know if that will...
Don't want it to be just coach speak.
...ever happen.
Yeah.
And how soon will we know Nebraska's next coach? Just make it convenient for the media. That's all it needs to be said. Tomorrow, we're at Bandits. Former Husker Monty Kratzenstein will join us in Grand Island. Luke Hoover of RotoWire to answer your fantasy football questions. We thank Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star, along with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report and Loper Women's Basketball Coach Kevin Chaney for joining us today. Randy Bushcutter, have a great Wednesday.
You too, and I will see you next Wednesday.
Okay, I hope so. Enjoy a musical. We'll see you on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game!